Who needs an alarm in the morning when McDonald's has sausage, egg, and cheese McGriddles and a breakfast cutoff? Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
The hot sauce sprinkling, the magic twinkling. But I know what it's like to go to sleep alone at night and cry out to God. I'm useful and I'm ready to be used by the Most High. Black is a weapon that you were gifted with. You are the original God.
Welcome. You are tuned into Monuments to Me, brought to you by Revolt.
This is a safe space for honest and relevant conversations intended to recharge Black women and fuel Black girl magic.
We're your hosts, Akilah Friend and Dawn Montgomery, and each week we'll be addressing a range of topics from self-care, entrepreneurship, to politics and relationships.
Join us as we explore and bask in the joys of Black womanhood. Welcome back. We're here with Monuments to Me. Thank you for checking us out. And please make sure that you like and subscribe everywhere that you see us. This is, of course, a Revolt Network podcast. And today, I just think it's one of those things where we have these plans, right? Where how we want to do things. And then lo and behold, either Mercury retrograde fucks it up or God says, hey, this is, let's do something different. Or the universe just sets up everything to be where it's like, no, change it up. This is how it should go. And I'm going to allow our guest to introduce herself because I think we already have an idea of where we're going to go with this conversation, but I want her to have the opportunity to use this space to really introduce herself to many of people that might not have heard of her or know who she is so that she can really, really allow me to really go there. Okay. You like the way that sounds?
I'm here for it.
Go ahead.
I am Teresa the Songbird. I am Teresa the Sound of a New Generation Believing in Realized Destiny. From the south suburbs of Chicago, Illinois, living in Atlanta, Georgia, I am the hot sauce sprinkling, the magic twinkling, viral poet, author of the poem, You So Black, and I'm just grateful to be here. I do a lot of things. I do a lot of things well. I do a lot of things poorly, but we ain't here to talk about them.
Oh, well I mean, that just shows that we are human.
Absolutely.
Hello, somebody. So, first and foremost, I just want to say, and knowing you and researching you, there's so many layers. And so I want to try to touch on as many as we possibly can, because I think it's beautiful when you have a Black woman who in so many ways knows how to express herself in all the ways. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Because most women are so very guarded, or they don't want people to see something like, oh my God, I'm going to be judged for that.
Yeah.
But I literally love how you are fully yourself.
Thank you.
How did you get to that point?
Oh, my mama's going to love this because she's the answer.
Shout out mama.
Yeah, my mama's the answer. I asked my mom maybe like last month. I was like, Mom, how did you get so delusionally confident?
Okay.
And because that's really what it is. My mama could be dead, super dead wrong, right? But the way she is confident about what she is doing, you'd be like, I trust
that's a trait
this
all
person.
All of us have.
But that's really what it is. My mom grew up the oldest of all of her siblings, and she was always taking care of somebody from the age of like 5 or 6 years old. Mm-hmm. So when you are constantly in charge of everybody, when you know, and from such a young age, you do become an authority in your house.
How most Black women are,
and she just really passed it. But because that's how I saw her just living in her life, I just thought that's how you're supposed to be.
Oh, okay.
You're just supposed to be delusionally confident. When I was 5, I took apart a Walkman cassette player because I just knew I could put it back together again.
Well, did you put it back
together? No, we broke the hell out that. Am I allowed to say hell?
Yes,
we broke the hell out that cassette tape. That Sony Walkman. My daddy was mad as hell I broke that thing.
Listen.
Springs and wires and battery backs, everything.
But the confidence you had.
But in my brain, I was like, I am a genius.
Right.
And I could, look, I take apart the shape thing where you put the circle in the circle hole. I take the circle out the hole. I put the circle. I could do this too.
So in knowing that,
yes,
knowing that you get that, you've inherited that, you've seen it be displayed. How do you manage to move around in the circles that you're in and be around people who might not understand how that comes off? Because for most people, it'll be, oh, well, she's loud, or, oh, yes, well, she's too much, yes, or, oh, well, she's... Because, again, we're talking to Black women now. We might have some other listeners that are listening, but you can probably identify these things because, in, especially in corporate world, like, if we're dealing with corporate people, oh, that's no, you can't do that because that's not what you're supposed to do. How do you deal with being in those type of spaces and still managing to remain yourself?
I'm laughing because I remember the handful of times that I've embarrassed myself in front of other celebrities because I was not able to handle myself.
Okay.
So I'm going to start with that. It's okay if you can't. Like, let's start there. It's okay if you, like, physically in your body. When I moved to Atlanta, I might have been here maybe like 2 or 3 years, and I was at an event where CeeLo Green was upstairs, and I was doing a show downstairs in the same event space, and my producer was friends with him, right? So he's upstairs chatting it up with him, and he come downstairs. He's like, yeah, man, you need to come up and meet CeeLo. I immediately was like, nope.
Okay.
Can't do it.
Ain't nothing wrong with
can't
that.
Do it. Not because I don't want to. But because I can feel, mm-hmm, I can feel me inside,
right,
lunching, losing, like, it, like being losing, a fan, yes, as opposed, yes, to being appropriate, right? Uh-huh, uh-huh. I did a show. I was involved in a week of events just this past weekend, and Super Scent, the sister who owns Crayon, mm-hmm, Case, was there.
Shout out to New
and
Orleans.
I was so grateful to be able to sit near, you know, and share VIP section with her and not lunch out. I was able to honor her, mm-hmm, shake her hand, have, mm-hmm, a conversation and not lunch out.
Okay.
Right? But she's definitely someone I admire, someone, right, who I would like to do business with again. And I think about those things. My road manager is with me. She's like, you don't want to take a picture? I said, no, I'm not looking for a picture. I'm looking for an opportunity,
you know,
to do
what?
More work
you
with
know
her.
What? People really get on to me about that because of the circles that I'm in or the people that I know or are associated with. I think for me, because you saying that off rip, the fact that you can control yourself, let's start there.
Right.
That says a lot. But to know that you're not trying to be in someone's face to try to,
no,
like,
I'm not trying to be your fan. I want to be able to, I want us to be able to build another
that.
Opportunity to work
that.
Together. And the way you have to do that, now that I'm in the space I'm in and people come up to me and they laud me, they think I am this huge thing, right? Mm-hmm. But I know what it's like to go to sleep alone at night and cry out to God because you feel like something is still missing. I know what it is to battle imposter syndrome. And so I reckon that if I'm going through that, how, like, I'm certain that every person who is trying to keep up appearances in Hollywood is feeling the same exact way.
Of course.
We are all the same human being, more or less. Mm-hmm. We all born, we all gonna die. And once you realize that, it takes the sting and the stigma out of the person you are dealing with. You recognize that they are just a human being. And the more light, the more notoriety, the higher up on the mountain you go, the more you are exposed to people, the less you want that. The less you want to constantly be trying to take pictures and having someone holler your name and chase you down.
Too.
Yes. Mm-hmm. They just want to be human beings and left to their own devices.
Right.
So that's what I've learned how to do is when, especially like when I did the Trumpet Awards and I know I'm going into a space that's filled with celebrities. Uh-huh. In advance, when I did Tamron Hall, and I know I'm finna go in this space that's filled with network executives and celebrities, and I'm like, look, God, keep me quiet when I need to be quiet. Mm-hmm. Keep me useful when I need to be useful. Mm-hmm. Keep me jovial. Let me be a light to all of the people who are working in this space. Let my presence be so well in this arena that they want to invite me back, that I leave everyone around me feeling better because they've had the opportunity to meet me today.
I love
Let me sit in that spirit. And if I can't sit in that spirit, close my mouth and shut me up and put me in a corner until it's time for me to do my job.
Well, maybe that's something I can learn right there.
Like, for real, because that's, for me, is it. If I can't, my answer is just be quiet and wait till somebody point to you and tell you where to go.
So you're still yourself, but you're able to navigate and use discernment. And when you need to be that, or to sit back and just observe and take in what's happening around you.
Because I'm still loud and I'm still country. Mm-hmm. I know that. That's not going to change. That's not going to change whether I'm talking to my homegirls or whether I'm talking to a room full of white people. Like, I know how to code switch, but I don't care for it, you know?
Because I was getting ready to point out that's not code switching, in my opinion, because it's a matter of you understanding and respecting an environment as well as the people that happen to be in that environment. And we all really know what code switching is. So that's not it. So I'm glad that you pointed that out, because another thing, I just feel like that's that in itself, knowing that type of expression or how you are and how you present yourself. Like, we were talking about your nails. We were talking about the colors. We were talking about, y'all, she got her thighs out. Let me tell y'all. Just y'all know I love, thigh. Y'all know I love a good thigh.
That's expensive. We can only afford one thigh.
I love a good thigh meat weather type post. You know what I'm saying? So
when something happens to your kitchen, you might say,
"This is ludicrous."
But that won't fix your home. That will only get you the rapper, Ludacris.
Having trouble? Don't panic. Don't be alarmed. You need to file a claim? Holla at State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
That's right. You can file a claim on the app or call us.
Thanks, Mr. Chris.
No matter how ludicrous the situation, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
State Farm, Bloomington, Illinois.
Talk about how long it took you to get to this point, to really just exude that and how you show up, you know, like, because most people, I know for me, a lot of people will say, I wear black a lot. I love black. I really, really do. I call myself very like sporty chic in a sense.
Yeah, I feel
because
you.
I love sporty like being spice. Comfortable. I love being, I'll be sexy here and there, but I'm definitely going to be wearing black somewhere. But the thing is for me, it's easier, like, because of how my life is, I'm not always like wanting to sit down and figure out piecing outfits and things like that. I got a whole side of my closet that's nothing but black clothing. I know what I can pull out of there and immediately just put on and go on about my day. Now, the colored side, I literally have a colored side of my closet.
Segregated.
Listen, the color side of my closet, I'm like, ooh, child, does this color go with this? Does this go with that? And you literally look like joy. Like, it's like, and I'm sorry, I'm not over exaggerating or anything. It's just literally when I came in, you know what I dealt with before I came in? It was like, oh, she's calm. Oh, look at her face. She's joyful. Like, I like that.
Absolutely.
How did you get to that point to really express yourself through how you present yourself? Because for a lot of black women, they may not know how to get to that.
I think it really happened in steps. When it comes to the hair, I've always been one of them people who changes their hair when their relationship changes. You know what I'm saying? I was big on that.
So which relationship you in now?
Right now we by ourselves.
Okay.
We by ourselves for a good little while.
That's okay too.
But I was in a relationship that was really tumultuous. Me and the brother are still really good friends. We actually co-parent a couple of his children together.
That's dope.
Yeah. But you know, he's like my brother. You know what I'm saying? That's where we live now. But at the end of that breakup, that's when we lost all of this right here. I spent like 10 days in Baltimore. My homeboy was a barber. I was like, I want you to cut my dreadlocks off. He was like, I'm not gonna do it. Right. You have to do it yourself. I snatched a pair of scissors off that boy's
and just did it.
Oh, Jesus. And that's how we got here. But everything else has just kind of been, I hate looking like other people. I really want to go, I try to go
very
out of my
unique.
Way to be very unique, to be one of a kind. Now that I've had more time, I make my own clothes.
I love
so
that.
So most of the events you see me at, when I did Tamron Hall, the dress I wore, it took me 2 days.
I did see that. That was so beautiful.
Yeah, I look good on my little dress,
girl.
I'm proud of my little dress on national television.
I ain't gonna lie.
Took me 2 days to make that dress. That's it. Did we have a pattern? No, we did not. We just made the thing. You understand me?
But it is. That's dope.
Yeah.
I think that's dope because a lot of people, let's go here with that. A lot of people, they either dress for what they want their lives to be like, or they dress, you know, for success, that type of thing, or they dress based off of how they want people to receive them. And you're just saying,
I dress
how I
want to. Yeah. Now we are in the age of dressing how we want to feel. Right.
Love that.
Because coming out of COVID and coming out of a bad breakup, I was dressing to be looked at. I was dressing to fill a void of not having that love in my life anymore. Then I hurt my back. I had like 6 injuries back to back. I literally just sprained my ankle 2 days ago. I don't know what's wrong with me. But
body just ain't, it's just letting go.
Right. But in the midst of hurting my back and stuff, I wasn't dressing like anything. I was in, you know, the least amount of clothing possible to make my life easier.
Right.
And
yeah.
And, but coming out of that, like I was expressing to the sister, I had, you know, God had given me some dreams about some things that I needed to readjust in my life.
Okay.
And even though I'm not a huge fan of that term, like soft girl era, I am into the idea of creating more softness for myself
and
being intentional in my beauty. Right? Ooh. So now I dress because I want to feel beautiful in the clothes that I wear.
We got to go back because y'all know I'm good for a quotable. Be intentional with your beauty.
Yes.
Ma'am, that sounds so peaceful.
It's a difficult place to get to, in all honesty. If you're a person who has battled with feeling beautiful, especially because I'm in this realm, right, where I get to be Teresa the Songbird. Mm-hmm. And when Teresa the Songbird is required to show up, because I've been on television, it's branding. There's an expectation that the Coca-Cola can is always supposed to look like the Coca-Cola
right?
You've seen me look one way on television. Right. Y'all don't want to see what I look like when I wake up. You know what I'm saying? You see me on television, so when you see Teresa the Songbird, I do my best to deliver her all the time. Mm-hmm. So it came to a point where it was a job.
Okay.
Even dressing the part was a job that's only for this part of my character, right?
Right.
So I've had to learn to, like, embrace more of the Teresa the Songbird in every aspect of my life. When I go to the grocery store, I put on clothes that match, that tell a color story, that make me feel cute. That when I'm walking around in them, I don't feel like somebody grandma or super old auntie. That I feel like one of them young, fun aunties with the
fine
short
ashes,
with the short blonde haircut. You know what I'm saying?
I know that's right.
Yes.
I know that's right.
Definitely auntie who don't have no children, who travels out of the country all the time.
The bougie auntie.
Yes,
is
that
what they
auntie.
Call it.
Yes.
But I love that because in knowing that at one point you were doing it for the brand or for the part, you eventually, you know, kind of healed yourself from that. Because for a lot of people, they get stuck in that. Because what if you're no longer that? Then how do you evolve into what's next for you?
And
because I think that's the beauty of Black women. We're so multifaceted.
Yes.
Like, we're not one thing. We're
yes.
not this or that. So for you, how do you use that type of self-expression as well as poetry to really kind of like carry that out to encourage other people?
Oh, man. Well, I have the luxury of being a polymath, multi-talented, a genius in...
Wait, go back.
Polymath.
Okay,
my homeboy gave me that word.
Because you know we gotta say that because, you know...
P-O-L-Y-M-A-T-H. I think that's how you spell that, polymath. Right? And it's like a person who is very highly skilled at multiple different types of things, right? So, like, outside of the fact, like, I got my degree in music. I studied opera when I was in college, on top of being, like, a writer, a real writer, a poet, a performing artist, an actress. I do graphic design. I paint. I make clothing. I do production. Right. I do productions. I do hair. Come on now. Like... You know what I'm saying? I have multiple avenues of expression. And especially when it comes to my creative stuff, the things that are, I feel like they're for me, my painting, my music, my poetry, specifically in those arenas, and making clothes. They tend to be avenues that are tapped into according to my emotions.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
Like, when I am angry, when I am pissed off at whatever, for whatever reason, when my spirit is agitated... Ain't no painting.
No.
There's no painting because my hands shake,
out?
Right? My hands shake so bad.
How do you get that out?
So I use, instead of, okay, so if I'm angry to the point where I do not know what to say, I make music. Like I make beats. I make sounds. I use the sound to like capture the idea of how I'm feeling.
And see, music is very therapeutic. I've said this numerous of times on here. Like I use music to really like... shift moods, but
absolutely.
At the same time, like I love like finding
new stuff,
new like samples
and putting somebody on.
Listen,
oh, I love to put somebody
I
on.
I will do that in a minute. So I love how you're utilizing that. as a form of healing too.
Oh, absolutely. When I hurt my back, my acupuncturist was like, you're a musician. You need to be using your music to heal yourself.
Say that again.
She said, you're a musician. You need to be using your music to heal yourself. And I made a playlist, girl. My playlist, the gospel music, I knew it was working when I was listening to They That Wait on the Lord. That song right there. And I'm on the floor doing my little my hip exercises, sobbing through that song, understanding like the connection of like being in this space in your body when you are in pain and working your way back to a level of homeostasis and feeling that, understanding the words that are coming into your spirit that you need to wait on the Lord, you know, that the goodness is coming for you. You know what I'm saying? They shall mount up on wings like an eagle and soar. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and never faint. They that wait, you got to be patient while you're in your body hurting. You got, and not just patient, but joyful. I believe in music as programming. They're already using it to program our children against us. You should be able to use this as a weapon for your own victory as well. So I guard, like how you pick your friends like you pick your fruit, and you need to guard your energy like it's your life. You know what I'm saying?
That part. So talk about like how the role of community in supporting and encouraging Black women, our self-expression, how important that would be. Like, because we had another thing that we talked about before recording, and I'm going to get there. But how important is it to have, like, that support system and community to get to that point where you can fully express yourself?
Man, so that's like a two-sided thing, right? Mm-hmm. Because as you begin to express yourself, you often feel like the only person doing it.
That part.
Especially, like, as a Black girl as an opera singer in college.
Now, where did you go to college?
I went to Millikan University in Decatur, Illinois.
Decatur, Illinois, the
soy capital of the United States of America. Yeah, I was one of four Black students to start my freshman year. I was one of four Black students in the School of Music. When I graduated, I was the only Black student to graduate that year from the School of Music that year. But oftentimes, I would be the first Black girl out doing poetry, the first Black girl you see in all of these cases. Mm-hmm. And what it did was give other Black girls who might have been hiding that little light under a bushel, it gave them permission to come out and say, hey, I do this thing too, right? Mm-hmm. But then you also look at, like, we create community by being bold enough to be the one to step out first. Mm-hmm. I look at me being able to be a poet now, and, like, I'm grateful that I'm knowledgeable, not just about, like, the new poets, but like history and people like Sojourner Truth, who wrote Ain't I a Woman Too? And one, to be a former slave writing,
like,
hello,
girl,
right?
And he's then doing all the things we're not supposed to
exactly
be doing,
right? And then to be lifted to a national platform to be able to share these words, you know what I mean? To be the only one doing it. She didn't have a community to hold her up, but her boldness created the space for a community to follow. Mm-hmm. So while I am grateful that the community exists for Black women, I am more grateful that we empower the boldness in our spirits to be unafraid, to be the one that does it first, to kick down the doors, to knock, can I say shit?
Yes.
Could knock all the shit off this table and be like, you gonna give me some room over here, Shawnee.
Yes.
Not just me, but I got a sister who I brought with me. She ain't saying nothing, but her name is Felicia, and she right here, and me and her both finna sit down.
But that part right there, because now, because you're the first, it's up to you to really go find the second, the third, and the fourth.
But you don't even have to find them.
And most of the time, they'll find you.
Right. They come up out the woodwork.
Come on.
Immediately. They'd be like, oh, my God, wait, I was in the back, and I heard you was in the building.
I didn't know we could do this.
Exactly.
Like, okay, got you. So for you, like, can you share, like, how poetry, like, how your words are coming out to express that feeling, just in general, or how, when the words do hit you, how are you able to formulate, okay, this is what I'm thinking, this is how I'm going to say it, and this is how I'm going to deliver
because
you could write one thing and you can look at it and read it and say it, and it may not come off as that vibe that you're feeling.
Right.
So how do you process?
So my process is feeling vomit first and foremost. I get my pen and my paper. I'm old school. I'm not one of them people who's trying to type their poem on the phone. The only time I'm doing that is on an airplane or if I'm not, like, because I get motion sick. So I try to get the thought out real fast, right? But even when I get through with that, if it's going to be a poem, it still gets transcribed, paper and a pen, into a notebook, right? But I write all of my feelings about whatever it is that I'm feeling. I write all of it out. Okay. And then once I do that, I really start to think about, like, the deeper ideas. Have I missed a thought? Mm-hmm. And not just my feelings, but I'm about solutions, right? So I'm not just writing to be salty. I'm writing to figure out how to unsaltify myself.
Come on, unsaltify. Right?
So we vomit all the feelings out, and then we start writing ideas about solutions and where that goes. Okay. And then we go back and we, like, sometimes I'm not writing in order, right? I'm just writing the idea.
Right,
so I go and I pick the best line, the thing that the jazziest thing, and I'm like, all right, bet. That's where we're going to start. That's going to be the beginning of this piece. And then knowing how I want it to end, normally I write the very beginning and the very ending, and then I go back through all the vomit and I put it in order.
Wow. So you're a true lyricist, quiet as this kid.
Yeah.
Like, no, not quite.
Like Rain Mountain. Yeah, like that's how it feels a lot of the time. Like, just my homegirl used to describe it as like the words circling around you, voices you hear whispering at you all the time until you pull it down. And then sometimes it is just that. It is exactly word for word the way I wrote it. And in those cases, it's that it feels connected. I feel like I have plugged into the source, and the source is like, because this is what it's going
to
be.
Because it's not like what most people think it is, where it's like everything has to rhyme.
No, not always. Not everything doesn't always have to rhyme. And I don't think that people should be looking at poetry. Not everything also has to be entertainment. I really feel like poetry, the act of putting your thoughts from your brain onto paper, is something that everyone should be doing.
I see. We've talked about journaling on this podcast consistently, but I tend to tell people, depending on what you're writing about and how you read it, that could be a form of poetry for you,
right?
And how you're expressing yourself. So if there is an aspiring poet that's listening, right, or someone who's like, oh, well, I love my stuff that I write in my journal, and I wouldn't mind standing up, you know, saying these things in front of people, what would your advice be to them to kind of like really hone into what their full self-expression would
be? Oh, man, you got to go. Let's get you a good friend behind you. Close your eyes and let them push you out into the water. Old school, like an old school daddy at summer camp. You understand? For real. You have to do a scared jump. Mm-hmm. Go to an open mic. Even if you are too scared, go to the open mic the first time and just be an observer. Mm-hmm. Go to the open mic the second time and put your name on the list. Mm-hmm. I don't care if you have to turn your back to the audience and do your poem backwards because you're too scared to look out at the people. You have to train. It's all muscle memory. Eventually, the body gets used to being on. Because I get nervous every time.
Are you still
every
nervous?
That's how I know I love it. Oh. Every single time, right before they call my name, I'll be like, all right, let's get it together. But then I also know I'm finna kill. I'm finna give these folks something they ain't never seen before. But I'm useful, and I'm ready to be used by the Most High. So I center myself in the space of being used and being useful. And then I go up to that mic and Hulk smash.
I feel that. So one of the things, like, you consistently talk about is having either the friend or your sister or someone that's in community with you. So one of the things that we talked about, and now I'm ready to get there, is, like, just communal living. Like,
me and my sisters.
And to me, that's like, something that I always joke with my best friend about. We've been best friends for over 20 years. And I'm like, girl, just if I find a house with an extra bedroom, you're coming in. Like, you're moving in. And it's more than just moving in with your people. Like, talk about the type of, like, self-expression that you get from living in a communal space, right? Number one.
Yeah.
Number two, also not settling. Because I know where you're going to go with it. But I want you to be very, very specific.
Because
I feel like this is another way that Black women can figure out how to express the things that they want, that they desire, that they want to create in their lives. Because we can manifest and we can do all of the things. I mean, look at us. We're black women. Like, we are superior, in my opinion. But at the end of the day, we never really challenge ourselves to be in uncomfortable situations. And communal living can be very uncomfortable for some people.
True. Well, for me, I'm lucky because my communal living is with my biological little sisters. Uh-huh. You know what I'm saying? My little sisters are identical twins.
Aww.
So the three of us are coming together under one roof, which is dope because it allows all three of us to save money. One, like, we all have a plan. We love each other very much. The house is large enough for us to be together when we want to be together and apart when we want to be apart, right?
Right.
So in the space of just being an individual living with other people, I think it's important that you really know the people that you're living with, right? Mm-hmm. Like, it's more than a roommate, you know? Because I had a roommate, too, for a long time. He was like my brother. And similarly, you know, it was nice to be able to have someone to share my bills with. I ain't never had to touch no garbage. You know, I ain't never took garbage out. I don't know what that life is like. You know what I'm saying? And I appreciated that. And then having a man in the house, even if it was, just, you know, just to... It's a mouse.
Right.
Get the mouse.
You can handle that.
You know, we in Atlanta. It's a lizard. Get the little lizard.
All kind of critters.
All kind of critters and creatures, right? But also because now I'm in this space where me and my sisters will be living together. And we, you know, we talk about like what it's going to be like dating and all of that with all three of us together. And my notion is I feel bad for the brother trying to come and date me or my sisters 6 months, a year into us living together because I don't think there are two people I love more on the planet Earth than these two women, right? And vice versa. Like, right, they love, right, we all, there's a love there that also means protection. Uh-huh. It also means provision. It means that I don't worry about how I'm getting picked up from the airport or getting picked up or dropped off on time or what I'm going to eat, how the bills are going to get paid. None of those things are a worry because I have a team to lean on.
Right.
So as some fellow comes around wanting to be a part of my life.
Come on.
Right? And want to be either you got, what you going to do? You moving in?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. It's your boy Spitty here from DGB, aka Dirty Glove Bastards, Off the Porch Podcast. Now, if you're a fan of artist interviews, then make sure to check out and subscribe to Off the Porch, a show that interviews everybody from the dopest up and coming artists, your favorite OGs and legends, street comedians, directors, and other influential people from the culture. And it's brought to you exclusively by Revolt Podcast Network, anchored in hip-hop, powered by creators.
You moving in with me and the sisters? That's two other people you have to impress.
Absolutely
on a day-to-day basis. Or the other option is you moving me out. But look at what I'm, look at how I'm living.
Right.
Look at the quality of life I'm in. I'm more or less in a mansion, sir. You want me to move out the mansion with my sisters into your dusty 900 square foot, two bedroom apartment?
You better not have no air mattress. That's all I got to say. Because
look, I just think that at this point, like, I have a couple, another set of friends who do poetry here in Atlanta, and they are sister friends who live together, right? And both of them have significant others. I think they still live together, even with their husbands, children.
That's so dope.
But it allows room to be a village in your home for your children to understand what it's like for people to get along together. Even in the space of, like, my sisters, like, you know, I am more or less like a godmother to two children who I'm super, I can't call them children, teenagers and a full adult, 24 and 15, full-on big people, right, at this point. But my 15-year-old godson, you know, I spend a lot of time with him, and my sisters are prepared. They are ready to be new aunties again for him. You know what I mean?
I love that. So, in knowing that, creating that space, holding that space for each other.
Yeah.
Understanding that if somebody comes in, they've got to do blah, blah, blah.
You
got to
be more.
How do you think that would help more black women, especially in such a society that we live in today?
I think, one, it reduces the number of black women who end up staying in less than adequate situations for themselves for the sake of, oh, I need, if I'm not with him, who's going to help me take care of the children? You know, you choose being beaten down or verbally, emotionally, physically, financially abused
Yeah.
For the sake of a household when the truth is you got a homegirl up the street and the two of y'all could put y'all money together, or she could work full time and you could be home child care for all of your children together. Y'all could come together and make a plan. You could have a peaceful home, a clean home. You would still be able to, both of y'all, you could still date if you wanted to date.
Yeah.
But you also, you eliminate this notion that I have to have this man around in order to have a functioning household.
That part. That in itself is empowering.
Absolutely. But it also allows for the men who come along, one, to see the amount of effort. This is some Proverbs 4:31 stuff right here.
Come
the
on.
Men who come along to see the way you live, mm-hmm. to see the way your household functions, to see mm-hmm. that there is a symbiotic pouring into happening in this space. And now that you see it, sir, what can you bring to this space? Mm-hmm. Or you see that I'm taken care of. I don't really need you to come in and be the atypical man, but I do need an intimate friend.
Right.
I do need someone whose shoulder I can lean on,
right.
A confidant, a lover, whatever that thing may be. And then you can actually be more, I think it allows men the room to be more human and less of a wallet.
I love that.
An open bank account. I think a lot of women look at these brothers like open bank accounts and what can you do for me? Mm-hmm. As opposed to like, he's a human being. He deserves to have a vulnerable space just to be a friend, a man who doesn't need to do anything extra for you, but listen, talk.
Very true, but I'm going to tell you something. There's a price on that for me, so I'm just like, you know.
She charging like the sex phone lines. Listen, you get $3.99 a minute, brother.
Listen.
You want to talk about your mama? $3.99 a minute.
I'm here for you, trust, but sir. This needs to help pay a bill somewhere.
Come on, man.
But no, I get you 100%. But what I really want to say is I think that's a beautiful thing to talk about and really to share right now because of just of how things are happening across America right now.
Yeah.
We're not talking about the world. We're talking about America right now. So, like, do you ever feel like you're going up against, in this space for what you do and how you present yourself, do you ever feel like you're going up against, like, oppression or any type of, like, racism and things of that nature? Because, I mean, for a lot of people, it's more like they'll say, like, okay, I'm doing this thing and I don't run into those issues, or I'm just me. Does that make sense? Because a lot of people who are free thinkers or who are very creative, they don't see America as America sees itself, right?
I am blessed in that despite having grown up in Chicago, being raised in Mississippi, living as
an adult. I just want y'all to know I heard Mississippi. So I just, you know, I didn't even know that till she said it.
Yeah.
Like, Mississippi through and through.
Right. Absolutely. We're going to talk about that. That's a whole nother subject.
Yes.
We're going to unpack our Mississippi connection in a minute. But yeah, I was coming up in Chicago, growing up in Mississippi, mm-hmm. living my adult life in Atlanta. I have never, ever, I was really like racking my brain. I ain't never had a non-nigga call me a nigga. I ain't never had that happen in my whole life.
Really?
Right. But I do find every now and then I go comment diving on some of the, when people repost my poem, and every now and then I go comment diving, and I might catch
you see
one or two in the comments.
But nothing in real life, though.
But nothing visceral in real, nothing that is directly for me in real life. But it doesn't stop me from holding space for everything that I see going on, right? And I'm a deep thinker, so I'm looking at everything. I understand everything. Everything about capitalism is about control. If y'all want to. The conspiracy theorist version of Teresa the Songbird. We can get into that in a little bit. But I recognize that all of this stuff is really like, all of this is fear-mongering at the end of the day. And like I said, I'm about programming or reprogramming. I'm the sound of a new generation. Teresa the Songbird, the sound of a new generation believing in realized destiny. Everything that comes out of my mouth is meant to program your life for the betterment of your living, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm not worried about none of that other shit. You know what I'm saying?
Gotcha.
Like, my goal is is my vision, my purpose, my plan. Like, I use You So Black to lift people of color into a space where you understand that, yes, black is a weapon, not to be used against you. Black is a weapon that you were gifted with. So you need to let your weapon glow. You need to let your weapon shine. You need to empower your weapon with information. You need to empower your weapon as a voter. You need to empower your weapon as a woman, as a man, as a child of blackness, born of melanin and light and darkness and goodness and stardust all at the same time. That's you. You are original. You are the original being of this planet. You are the original God, man, God, woman walking on this earth. You are the thing that God breathed into and said, let there be life on this planet. Ooh. Let there be a steward over the grass that grows and the animals that walk and fly and swim. You are the original God.
Yes.
So ain't nothing, all the rest of this is meaningless information.
Right.
As long as you know that at the very beginning, it's about the programming. And if you keep your eye on the prize, if you keep your alignment vibrating in the fact that you are the greatest thing that God has ever made.
Yeah.
That's the only thing you will attract is greatness.
The only thing you will attract is greatness. Whew, girl, that is a lot. So in being in these spaces, right?
Mm-hmm.
And knowing what you just said, how are you able to really like make sure that other women, like you have your little sisters, don't know the age, right?
Oh, yeah, I'm y'all don't even know how I'm grown. My sister,
right.
My sisters are 3 years younger than me, so we were close in age.
Okay,
so, and we all grown, and that's all you need to know.
but with that, knowing that you see how with the things that they go through, you've gone through whatever you've gone through. How are you trying to connect with the younger generation? Are you doing that? Like placing yourself in spaces or whatever? Look, like talk about
that's
that.
A huge platform of my business is making art and culture available to the youth, right?
Yes.
So I did earlier this year, I did a assembly with some kids from 100 students from Booker T. Washington High School.
Oh, I love that.
You know, I'm super plugged in with my godson and my goddaughter. Mm-hmm. I think it's important that everybody need to have them a teenage homie.
Listen,
you need to keep you somebody around you all the time that is living in their teenage
state. And it's
state.
Not just for youthness or the youthfulness of them. It's more so like you will really open your eyes to what these kids are having to deal with.
Yes, because it's not the same life.
It is not.
It's not the same life at all. And they keep me super connected. I was just talking to my godson today, and he was like, yeah, Auntie, I had my friends, and I was asking them, you know, we was talking about poetry, and I asked them if they knew any poems, and if they knew what your poem was, and they was all like, yeah, everybody knows that poem. And he was like, Auntie, I was just cheesing so hard.
Because, right,
like,
right.
You know, for him, I'm like mama, you know what I'm saying?
Right, gotcha.
But for him to also see that mama is somebody.
That part.
Right? Yeah. And that he has access to someone who has experienced success on some level. Like, I am grateful that my life inspires him.
Mm.
You know what I mean? But also, he teaches me. We talk about music. We talk about culture. And not just what I know, but what he knows. You know what I'm saying? I did not listen to no mumble rap, no drill rap. I wasn't doing none of that stuff. But because of TJ, he was like, Auntie, it's a time and place for all music. It just matters. It's just what time and what place, right? So when we're in the car together, he's putting me on to new music. We was watching Rap Caviar. And I was like, oh, you got to see, because his favorite rapper is Tyler, the Creator.
Oh, so I love him already. Yeah. I've talked about Tyler, the Creator on this podcast, too. That's one of my favorite artists.
He's the first episode of Rap Caviar.
His evolution, if we were to talk about Tyler, the Creator just for a brief moment, his evolution as an artist and as a young man should be studied and talked about consistently. Because that young man came in very chaotic into the industry. And at this point, he's one of the top. He's up there with Pharrell, Kanye West. I hate to, you know, say Kanye, but hey, you know, producer wise, Kanye West. Oh my God, I'm going blank for the top producers.
Absolutely.
In the industry.
Absolutely. And I'll even give him, because I just finished watching the Wu-Tang Saga, he really also gives me RZA vibes.
Yes.
He really gives me RZA vibes. He has an understanding because it's not just Tyler. It's the whole, what is it called? The Odd Family.
Yeah.
So that whole Odd Friends.
There's like, he created a whole
He brought group. His homies together.
And all of them are successful.
He is, amongst his homies, he is the Abbott.
Like, all of them Absolutely. Are successful. And they all thrive. Yes. So yes, I love that for your for him.
Right.
Like,
that's but that huge. is the connect. Like, I love hip hop. I love music. Mm-hmm. I love art. So being able to have a young person, because that's my nephew. He wants to, you mm-hmm. know, that's his thing. He wants to rap. He's an MC, mm-hmm. you know, and he's, you know, he's teaching himself some things. His dad, both me and his dad are in the industry, so we teach him what we can. Mm-hmm. But what I also love about these young kids, like similar to like T.I.'s sons, they're not looking for their dad's help. Ugh. They're like, he appreciates having us around, but they want so bad to get it out the mud, to get it for themselves,
yeah,
right?
It out.
And I appreciate that so much. But when it comes to these youth, you have to be the one to go to them, right? Mm. It's not the children's responsibility to come find you and find the solution. You have to make yourself available. So I do a lot of networking with teachers, with folks who run schools. Mm. I volunteer my service with the kids, especially with kids of color. My kids, y'all don't have to pay me. But these children of color, I'm so serious about that.
I get you because they have more funds and they have more resources.
Absolutely.
And we're going to be 100% honest about that. And most of our schools do not. So therefore, I remember back in the day, I used to do speaking engagements a lot. If I had a, you know, predominantly white school or some college
I'm
or something like that.
You know, I don't mind asking about an honorarium if
I'm gonna
you
get
have
the money,
one.
And then it's like, okay, I'm going to go find maybe one or two other schools that I can volunteer my time or give back to in that form of life. So I understand that 100%. So,
and they need that. The kids need to see that. They need to see art that isn't necessarily the art that they're used to seeing, especially doing poetry. You tell people you bring in a poet and they thinking they finna get something super boring or super or something that's not really engaging. And then you bring me. I turn some kids
ready.
Right.
They're not ready
at all, man. And we have us a good time. And the kids, you can see them lighting up. You can see them hearing themselves
huge.
Or seeing themselves. You can see the girls who write poetry being like, oh, she do what I do. You can see the dudes who rap listening to my wordplay and being like, oh, she the coldest ever. I know, little boy. I know bars. I know. You
respect
know?
My technique.
You know what I'm saying? it invigorates the kids to follow their own quirkiness, their own weirdness, their own ideas, their own thoughts. And just like I was saying earlier, even if you don't ever use poetry as a form of entertainment, you can use it as a form of trauma release. You can use it as a form of problem solving.
Yes.
You can use it as a form of journaling.
Yes.
But I journaled heavy from the time I was 9 until I was 14. And when I was 14, I started writing poems. Mm-hmm. So I didn't really journal anymore. But if you read my poems from when I was 14 to 15, you can see what was happening in my life.
Right.
You know?
Gotcha. I love that. So that leads me into just one thing that we consistently ask all of our guests on the show, and it's a great question. You've touched on a lot of things to where I feel like it's going to be, you're going to answer it very, very well, or you're going to pull from some of those things and really kind of reply to it this way. But the question is what is your dream for Black women?
Oh, man. I dream that every Black woman recognizes that they are a magical goddess created from the supreme being, meant to be loved and protected, meant to manifest, meant to be a resource, an ever-flowing river that will provide quenching to the thirst of a nation. Ooh. I wish for Black women all of the softness. I wish for Black women that your tears be collected and sat in museums as a form of lauding of the pain that you've experienced and the strength that you have mustered in getting through. I wish for Black women all of the joy and happiness, none of the turmoil and darkness that we have experienced. I wish for Black women ease, freedom, comfort, happiness, and peace in the body.
Yes. Yes, God. And we receive it. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. We receive it. Listen, like I said in the beginning of this episode, this was not what was put in our production notes. Do you hear me?
Yeah, we were going to talk about poems.
Like, and the thing was, is I did my research, looked you up, listened to some of your stuff, and I was like, no, there's got to be something deeper. There's something else there. And when I walked in, you know, she was like, girl, like, we need to talk. And I'm like, yes, you know, and I appreciate that because I think that for our listeners, what they're going to take away from this is that if they do the work, like the inner work, look into themselves, really sit down with themselves, figure it out.
And sometimes that takes time. And people are afraid. That's the best word. Like I'm telling you, I was on the floor weeping to they that wait on the Lord. Okay, so I'm going to tell this story, right? I have a homegirl who is going through, and this happens to a lot of us, going through an ugly divorce, right? At the beginning of that process, I was doing her hair, and every conversation we had was just, everything she said was, I just don't have time. I don't have time. I don't have patience for myself. What you mean you don't have patience, like, with yourself?
A lot of black women say that.
Because they don't feel that they are given permission. You don't give yourself permission, the time to get vulnerable with your own stuff, to honor that little person in you that's broken, that needs a hug, that may not be like, especially my homegirl's case, I feel so, you know, she doesn't have a parental support system. Both of her parents, well, one is unavailable and the other one is passed on, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, going through all of this stuff and you don't have a mother to lean on, you don't have that other, that divine feminine energy to link yourself to. That's why it's so important to have these friend groups, right? And I tell these stories to women, you know, black women especially, we love to, not love, but we live to suffer in silence. We will carry our little thing all by ourselves because we don't want to be a bother to our friends. Girl, you better call your friend and be bothersome.
I be loud with mine. I be like, girl,
you need
do
that.
Do you have the mental capacity to take on what I'm calling you about?
Yes.
Or do you have the mental capacity to listen or hold space for me? I don't need you to reply, but just hear me out.
And see, I'm the friend who's like, and if I call you and you be like, what's going on? What's wrong with you? Why are you answering the phone like that? What's going on? Immediately, what's going on, girl? I'm having a bad day. What happened? Let's unpack that.
Holding
them
space
is my favorite words. Let's unpack that. Talk to me. I did that to my mama the other day. Oh, my mommy, what's wrong? Well, I got the pastor done asked me to do this fast. Listen. And I done gave up coffee. And now I just feel, I don't know. I said, well, let's unpack that, mommy.
Let's unpack that.
Let's unpack it. Let's talk about it. But that's really what it boils down to, is that we have to create for ourselves. You have to have patience with yourself. And you have to take down this lie you've told yourself that you have to suffer alone. Call your homegirls. Bother your friends. They have been waiting for you to bother them so they can help to hold you up.
Also,
listen, honor the child in you. I got a homegirl, another poet named K-Love. She did a tour where she talked about, it was like the Love and Lipstick tour, right? Mm-hmm. And she had this one part of the tour that really stuck with me. And I don't ever want anybody to think this is my idea, because it's not. It's Kendria K-Love's idea, right? Okay. And she would say, what about the baby, right? Now she said, if you have a baby, you wouldn't leave your baby with half the men that you allow yourself to date. So you need to treat yourself like the baby, right?
Ooh.
In every bit of the day. Has the baby slept today? Have you fed the baby today? What did you feed the baby today? Has the baby been drinking Coca-Colas and Red Bulls all day? Have you given the baby any fruits and vegetables? Mm. Who has touched the baby today?
Right.
Is there any accountability for the person who you are letting hold the baby? Mm. All of that. And when she broke that down, I was like, what about the baby?
What about the baby?
And that's what it makes me think, like, as we lose patience with ourselves, and you lose patience with your inner child.
You lose patience with that
little 9-year-old you that had all of these dreams and ideas. And that's the person you need to be the most patient with. The older you get, the more you blessed to live life. You really need to honor the dreams and ideas of that little person you were, because that was an innocent dreamer. That was the best of yourself.
Yeah.
You know, you may not have had the finances to fund your fantasies at the time, but right. you had the imagination to fund your fantasies. Right. And you need to, now that you got the finances, how dare you not fund the fantasy?
Come on, fund the fantasy. Let's unpack that. What about the baby and fund the fantasy?
Yeah, what about the baby? Quoted by K Love, the poet from from Chicago, now living in Baltimore.
Well, if people want to find you online, can you tell them where to go to find you? Because I'm so sure they're going to be coming for you.
I hope so. And in the good way. I don't want y'all. Look, yes, I told y'all I've not been called the N word to my face by a white person. I'm not trying to have that happen tomorrow because y'all heard this. On the podcast. Please absolutely don't do me not. Like that. Absolutely but you can not. Find me everywhere. I'm super easy to find. THA Songbird. That's my website, thasongbird.com. Instagram, THA Songbird. If y'all got a little extra finances, Cash App, THA Songbird.
I know that's right.
Hey.
Pass the offering plate, look, please.
Please do.
Please. And thank you all for listening. Please make sure you share this. Always like and subscribe. And you know where to find us on Instagram at Monuments to Me. I'm your co-host here, rolling solo dolo, but hey, we rolled this thing on out.
Yeah, we had us a good old time.
Dawn Montgomery here, and we are out. Thank you for tuning in to Monuments to Me. Thank you to Revolt for allowing us this safe space to have these important conversations.
If you like what you heard today, then subscribe and tell a friend to tell a friend about your new favorite podcast.
Head over to Revolt.com to stay connected to all things Monuments to Me.
When something happens to your kitchen, you might say,
"This is ludicrous."
But that won't fix your home. That will only get you the rapper, Ludacris.
Having trouble? Don't panic. Don't be alarmed. You need to file a claim? Holla at State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
That's right. You can file a claim on the app or call us.
Thanks, Mr. Chris.
No matter how ludicrous the situation, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
State Farm, Bloomington, Illinois.